Hey there! Welcome to Trans Experience, the podcast where real people from the trans community get together to share their stories, their struggles, and victories. We have genuine and relatable conversations that dive deep into the heart of the trans experience and beyond.
We have so much to share, so grab your headphones and let's get into the amazing and diverse world of becoming and living our own truth. Welcome to Trans Experience. This is LG.
This is Madison. And today we are going to be talking to each other, a little interview format. Tayden could not be with us. She has some other things to take care of. And the beauty of doing a podcast with three of us is that if someone does need the weekend off or the time off, we can still go ahead and record and we will catch them on the other side of it. So LG, let's get into some interview, Q&A, you and me, girl. Let's find out about each other.
So let's begin by saying that I have the questions on the top of my head. And I asked Maddie, okay, Maddie, you ask me. And she's like, well, what am I going to ask you? And I'm like, I don't know, but this is what I'm going to ask you. So my first question to her was, who was your first crush? Let me make a pause on this. She said, Justin Timberlake. I said, let's make it more believable, okay? But besides that, what up, Maddie? Because I really need to say this. She goes, well, I'm just going to ask you what you ask me. And I'm like, no, you're not. And she's like, fine. So she goes and grabs her phone.
I Googled 10 good questions. I did. Listen, I don't do well under pressure. I thought we were just going to talk. And then here we are, like, asking questions.
The level of...
But I'm ready. I'm ready.
Put me in, coach. Put me in. The level of professionalism of this lady is marvelous.
I'm exuding professionalism.
Okay, so let's begin by this. So what we're trying, the whole point of this episode is we want you guys to get to see that more human side and see what we are like when we're not behind the microphone. That's why we start a little bit with humor, but let's dive into it. So again, my question to you.
Yes.
Who was your first crush?
Okay.
And how did you handle it?
Okay. So outside of Justin Timberlake being my first crush, because apparently that doesn't count according to Mama LG over here, my first crush was actually my shop teacher in 7th grade.
You would.
And he was super sweet to me. Like, he knew, like, that I just was not one of the kids that had the best time in school. But he was so, so cute. And I think because he was nice to me, it just made it even more attractive.
So, based on that, do you think that when we're younger, there's people that we have throughout our path that we believe that we're crushing on them, but you think that it's just the appreciation of them being kind to us? No, what I'm trying to say is, like, it's hard for us to find support,
yeah,
especially from outside adults, you know, like, especially in the times that we were raised at. I mean, I know that back then you were not trans yet.
No.
But
I was just very, very, like, I was beyond flamboyant. I was the definition of flamboyant. Some was forced, if I'm being honest. But most of the time, it was just such a natural thing, the way I run and talk and stand.
What do you mean? What do you mean some of it was forced?
Some of it was forced. So sometimes I'd be in an environment where I felt like if I was extra gay, that they would do that. Okay, we're just going to leave that alone. You know, we're not even going to go there. Like, and it worked, though, especially in school. Like, the extra gay was, the more they just left me alone because I was already on this absurd level of mental check that they needed to do. That they just left me alone. Like, if I toned it down and I just was my regular self, they picked on me more. But if I was extra gay and I was extra loud, they, for some reason, left me alone. And I don't understand the science behind that. But that was my experience in my small town.
Well, it's kind of like when they said, like if somebody's running at you, like, looking crazy, like, what you're going to do is just, like, leave their crazy alone, you know? So, like,
That's what I was doing.
And I think that it applies to that. Sometimes we, for myself, like, I was more like on the low. I was more like, try to be invisible, try for them not to see you. You know what I mean? And I was blessed enough, just like you. I mean, my teachers, most of them were girls, so no crush there. But like, the thing is that most of them were so kind to me that I don't think I would have made it through high school without those teachers. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like, I think that even though we live in a society that usually pushes us to the side, there are those to our path that are willing to help us if we're willing to see and accept them. So, I'm glad that
you said that. Did you have a favorite subject in school because of someone else, like a teacher or a peer?
Yes. As y'all might know, like, I have an accent.
No.
I know. Shocker.
Oh, my God.
Shocker.
Yeah.
No, actually, it was my ESL teacher. Well, yeah. She was like, So my ESL teacher, she was actually really, really kind to me. And, you know, every morning I used to pass by this house with rose bushes. And she was so kind to me that every single day that I would pass by there, I would steal a flower. I'm sorry to whoever lived there. And I would bring it to her because she was so kind to me, you know. And I think that she played a big role into me learning English. She's like, okay, so now we know who to blame. No, but like, I never thought that I would be, you know, like communicating in this language with anyone. You know what I mean? Yeah. So she played a really big role into me being willing to learn and then and breaking out of.
Well, it's funny because my teacher, I was forced to go to shop instead of home ec. I wanted to go to home ec, obviously, because that's where the girls were. Almost every bully that I had in school at that time was in that class with me in shop. And I won that day with my little race car. And I think it was because I felt, even though I was being picked on all the time, I felt supported by him. Mm-hmm. And so I did my best. And I didn't understand the dynamics and all that that I was supposed to. Like, I was supposed to learn how to really cut some wood and get the airflow of the car and da-da-da. I couldn't figure all that out. I just know that I wanted to do well because I knew that he would be proud of me.
Yes.
And so, yeah, anyways.
So I love that. I love that because it shows that when we do have the support, we excel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's quite important, especially us growing up.
Yeah. I have a question for you.
We're sorry. The number you reached is disconnected. Where's the locker in service?
What is your favorite childhood memory?
What is my favorite childhood memory? Mm-hmm. Is this you or Google asking?
Girl, listen, don't judge me.
It's so funny because I just answered.
But it's a good one. It's a good one.
It's a great one.
Thank you, Google.
Well, now that me and Google are getting to know each other better.
The shade of it all.
So there's this fruit and it has like these black seeds. And I remember we were in the house and my mom was a total different person from when she was in our country to when she came here. Like totally polar opposite. She was more alive. She was more fun. She was more of a mom. Well, I guess because she had my dad's support. So this one time my mom runs through the door and she rolls and she starts throwing these seeds at my dad because he's laying on the bed and she's like, pew, 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 pew. And then my siblings and I are looking at this and then we just start laughing because my dad is sitting there like, are you serious? And then she runs out and then she comes back again and she does it again. And then my dad came and he picks her up, you know, and like yeah. He throws her on the bed and then he starts tickling. No, he did not go R-rated, okay? She looking at me like, whoa, tell me more.
I just raised my eyebrows, okay?
Exactly. So, but that's one of the happiest memories that I have because it was genuine. And it was looking at my parents like showing love to each other. And it was me spending time with my siblings and just having fun as a family, you know, like, mm-hmm. Because when you're that kid, when you're that young, at least for ourselves, because we were from a different generation, like, we had contact with other people, you know, yeah. Like, and seeing our parents having that contact, us spending time together without, you know, without our heads down on a freaking screen, just enjoying life like that, you know, like it's one of the happiest memories that I have.
Well, I remember when, I'm going to interrupt, thank you. So growing up, my siblings and I were not very close in age, we're not that far apart. Anyways, I was like a second parent kind of, because mom was dealing with her own struggles at the time, and I was probably 15, and I had two of them, my younger brother, my younger sister, and I took them to the movies at Arizona Mills. We went to Harkins, and after the movies, there was a horrible rainstorm happening. It was like a monsoon, and the three of us, because we weren't really with the parent, we would run up and down the sidewalks, because they were smooth, and just slide across the sidewalk, first start on our feet, somehow we ended up on our stomachs, I think, at one point. But for us, for the three of us, that's always been a really happy memory, because it was just three of us. We didn't have a lot of money. Mom was, you know, struggling, but we were having so much fun, just the three of us. It was a ton of fun. I could talk about that all day. But I have another question for you. This one's not from Google.
Okay, go ahead.
This one I got when I was looking at Google, but I want to know. No, it gave me a trigger. It gave me a trigger. Like, it triggered something in me.
Okay.
Okay, the question is, though, what was your biggest influence then, or who, versus who and what is your biggest influence now? And the difference being before and after you're deciding to transition.
This is gonna sound so cheesy, but my all-time hero has been my mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, prior to transitioning and after transitioning, like I said, my mom was polar opposites. You know what I mean? When she was in Guatemala, she was this kind, loving person. Life hadn't happened to her. And if it had, it hadn't fucked her up yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She was sweet. She was warm. She did everything for us. I didn't know that we were poor because of the way that she managed the house.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know my dad had an alcoholic drinking problem because of the way she managed the house.
Yeah.
So my warmth and all of that I got from her from when I was a child, and she was my greatest inspiration. You know, like, she was so kind and loving, and I wanted to be that.
Mm-hmm.
As I grew older and she came into this country, when she brought us into this country, I got to see without the drug life, you know, but she was kind of like the queen of the South.
Yeah.
Meaning she was a strong character woman that nobody could say. She was like that wild fucking horse, you know what I mean? Nobody could tame her. And she used to sell cars. You know how, like, they used to, back in the day, they'll put the cars on the street and they'll sell them. And she was like in this field that was totally dominated by males. And she would go up to them, she'll pop the hood, you know, she'll start checking the oil and all of that. And they'll try to come up on her and she'll be like, you got me fucked. Like, I'll give you this much for that. Like, she was my hero, boss bitch kind of status. And I always wanted to be that strong version of my mother as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I wanted to have her soft side, but I also wanted to be that independent woman that don't need nobody else.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I think for me, my mom, I still have a hard time talking about her. She's only been gone less than a month. But as far as influences go, before my transition, I would say my biggest influence was one of my cousins. I hope she doesn't kill me, but her name is Brittany. It was actually the name I went with when I first started trying to figure out my identity, was the name Brittany. And it was because this woman, she's a woman now, but as a kid, like as a teenager, as a young adult, like, she's always just been the most grounded and the happiest. And she has no problem saying what she thinks, but she does it in a way that if it's not going to help you, she's not going to say it, you know? And I respect that, because we live in a world now where people are just trying to spout off because they're trying to give you quote unquote shade or read you. And that's fine and funny and all, but like when it comes to really serious stuff, like, you know, I really respected her. I really love her. And then now, after my transition, it'd be my sister. She is a very strong mother. She's amazing. She is pretty much, during my addiction, I found that 90% of my problem is my jealousy of my sister, because she had all the things I wanted, you know?
Mm.
And instead of being happy for her, I was jealous of her. Well, getting sober, I realized that my family needs her to have those successes so that we can, she's the one that beat the cycle, you know, of addict parents. She is not, and she understands limits. And so, like, I look at her now, I'm just in awe of the things that she's accomplished within herself, within her marriage, within her children, within our family. She is our rock, and she has been throughout my mom's passing, you know, and so I appreciate that so much.
So my question to you is, like, what is the one characteristic about her that you admire the most? What is the one thing about her that you're like, wow?
Her ability to take anything that's thrown at her and handle it with grace and humor, you know, and I do not do those things when things are handed to me. I handle them with a very dramatic flair and emotion. Neither of those things are going to help me solve a problem. Whereas the way that she does it, it makes it easier to handle.
Okay, so now back to me. And
perfect.
Disclaimer, my questions are not coming from Google.
Listen, that last one did it, okay? It just triggered something.
Okay, so prior to your transition, and I'm asking this because, like, I know the many times that I did when I was a teenager. So did you ever try to cover up the fact that you were, at that point, gay? What were the things that you would do, and how did you feel about having to do those things?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so I got married to a little girl in the third grade playground, and I got married to this girl named Misty. We used grass to put on our fingers as rings. It was very, very pathetic. By then, I was already being made fun of. And so I thought, okay, well, if I chase the girls in the playground, they won't think that I'm this way. And that didn't do me any good. I went on a church retreat camp and in New Mexico with a bunch of people. I brought the brightest clothes you could find in any wardrobe. But there, you know, I told a couple of pastors that I had these feelings and that I didn't want them anymore. And that's when they took me to the side. And, you know, that's when the church trauma happened. You know, I thought if I did these things willingly and embraced them as they were happening to me, despite the pain, that it would help fix what was wrong with me at the time.
So how did that make you feel? Because I know how hard it was for me to pretend to be someone that I wasn't. Mm-hmm. Feel. How did that affect you and into your transitioning? How much of that affected your...
Well, I kept trying to do it their way. I kept trying to be the person that they thought I was, you know, and it got to a point where the person that I thought they wanted me to be was the loud, flamboyant, sassy, drunken mess that I was all the time. And I didn't know how to pull myself out of that because I didn't know I was miserable.
Do you think that made you more insecure? Do you think that made you like...
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have zero confidence in myself when I walk out of the building every day. But it's because I'm battling those things that for so long, I thought I was happy. I didn't realize I was miserable because I didn't know what happy was. I didn't know what successful was. I just knew that the role in my family that I played was the loud, dramatic, lying child that I had become. And I did that in an attempt to get attention. And I wasn't getting the attention I wanted. The attention I was getting wasn't what I wanted, but it was still attention. And so I just kept doing those things. And after 20 years of doing those things, that's what my happiness was at that point, you know? And I didn't realize I was unhappy until I woke up in Mesa on some grass with no clothes on, you know? That's how I was like, okay, this is not happy. This is not what I thought I was doing, you know, but it was years of constant telling myself that this is what I want and this is what I want. Not knowing what I wanted, ever.
Like I said, for myself, like, I know that I try to cover it up. I think that the one thing that I take from all of this, how it made me feel, it was embarrassed. Why did it make me feel embarrassed?
Let me ask you, why did it make you feel embarrassed?
They always make fun of me because I answer my own questions.
You just made it easier for us. It's less interviewing than I have to do.
So this is why it made me embarrassed. Because, like, let me put it to this way. So when I came out to my best friend in high school, we were in the bus. So we're in the bus and we're driving back. And I don't know what got over me that I was like, I need to tell you something. And she was like, what? I'm like, I'm gay. I'm like, just please don't tell my mom or my siblings. And she looks at me in the eye and she was like, have they met you? Because it was obvious.
Yeah.
And that's what embarrassed me.
Yeah.
Because I knew that they knew mm-hmm. that I was.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So having to lie to every single one and pretending to, like, it was ridiculous. Like, my mom knew.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else knew. And I was just keeping up a show to satisfy what my family wanted or what I thought my family wanted. You know what I mean? While I'm standing there like, yeah, how about them cowboys? You know what I mean? Like, and they're looking at me like, bitch. We talking about the cheerleaders?
Which Dolly Parton just rocked that outfit, okay? I'm just saying.
Hashtag. But you know what I mean? Like it was embarrassing for me to pretend I wasn't something that it was obvious for everyone that I was.
Yeah.
You know, keeping up with that lie, and that made me lie to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because when people ask me, would you ever transition? Oh no, I'm comfortable the way that I am and blah, blah, blah.
I said that all the time too.
And to me, now I see how that was a lie. That I needed to believe in order for me to be okay, in order for, not for me to be okay, but in order for everybody else to be happy, joyful, mm-hmm. and free,
mm-hmm.
while I was being enslaved to their expectations mm-hmm. and beliefs, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now that I'm older, I'm grateful for all of those experiences because mm-hmm. of that experience and everything that I went through as a child. Today, I'm able to value where I'm at in life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Today, like, I'm appreciative of the rights that I have. I'm mm-hmm. appreciative of the freedom that I have. And I know that this country is not where it needs to be, but it's not where it used to be neither.
No.
You know what I mean? I can walk around the street, at least for now, and be okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think for me, though, as a kid, too, I was really bad at comparing myself to others. Like, I come from a really great family with high expectations for themselves. You know, mm-hmm. it's nobody put the expectation on me. But I'm watching my siblings and my cousins be so successful in everything, career, education, family, and I had none of those things. And that just, I kept comparing myself, and I realized that comparison is the thief of joy. And I was suffering from it so bad, but I had no idea that I had this little thief in my life all the time, you know? And that just kind of, it snowballed for me.
And I think that the hardest part is to realize that that thief is nobody, no one else but yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? I think that's one of the hardest things. And I'm going to ask you this. So I always thought that my favorite color growing up was pink.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Yep.
And I always thought that that was my favorite color.
Yeah.
As I grew older and I started to discover myself mm-hmm. and started to get to know me, the only reason I like pink was because of what it represented.
Yep, same.
Because that's the woman color. So mm-hmm. since that's the woman color, I must like it.
Yeah.
Funny thing is that as I grew older, I came to realize that actually my favorite color was totally the opposite of what would be considered the opposite of it.
Blue.
Which is baby blue.
Oh.
And this is the reason for that. My mom's name is Celeste, which translated to English is Celeste, mm-hmm. which is baby blue.
Yeah, it is.
So that's why I love a baby blue.
That's cute.
Because it reminds me of my mom.
Yeah.
But my entire life, and that's what I mean, like, it takes, a lot of people are like, well, you're grown, you should know this. Like, no, when you grow up under somebody else's expectations, even your favorite color mm-hmm. is questionable.
Mm-hmm.
Because is this my favorite color or somebody mm-hmm. else's opinion of my favorite color?
Okay.
So
yeah.
being able to discover that, and especially in the trans world, how sure are we of the things that we grew up loving? Like, did we really like them?
Yeah.
Or did we just did them because somebody else told us that that was what was expected of us? You get
yeah.
what I'm saying?
I do, but see, now this is funny you bring this up because that's like one of those things that I've never wavered on. My favorite color has always been red. And for me, it always represented the energy and the fire.
Mm.
And even at my darkest times, like, people would still describe me as someone with a fiery personality, you know? And so, like, I've always been drawn to red. Now, do I buy things that are pink just for the sake of being pink and it's feminine? Abso-frickin-lutely. There's, mm-hmm. but you're gonna find very little pink in my house, you know? I do have pink disco balls in the kitchen.
I'm not even gonna touch that one.
But I mean,
I'm done with her. I'm done. Thank you. This is the show.
No, I do though. My favorite color has always been red, and it's for a very specific reason. It has nothing to do with gender. But again, there are other things, though, that I was afraid to admit liking when I was a kid because I knew that I was going to get even more grief, like ice skating. My grandma and I would watch ice skating growing up, and we watched ice skating, and she could see how into it I was. Like, I loved it. And I knew, though, that if I admitted to loving it, I was going to get grief from grandpa. Whereas grandma would have to say things to defend me, like, it's okay, boys do it too, kind of thing. And the whole time thinking, but I didn't want to do it as a boy. I wanted to be her. I wanted to be the girl, you know. And now I'm 10 feet too tall to be an ice skater, but it's fine. I've gotten used to it. I'm not bitter about it at all.
sounds like you got over it.
But those,
so your favorite color is
my color,
red.
Red. Yes, absolutely.
So
now if it comes to, like, I have this like thing with rose gold that I don't know what's happening to me. And I don't know if it's because I'm going to be 40 in April or what, but I'm like growing into this rose gold era of my life. I don't like it because I love rose gold, but I don't know why.
I love it. I think it's a lovely color. So since red is your favorite color,
yeah.
like, do you like that song?
Red?
I see you red.
Is that by Taylor Swift or is it country?
Red.
Oh, wait. What
okay,
are you talking about?
We are definitely out. We appreciate your support.
Oh, listen, I hope Taylor Swift wins the Super Bowl.
You've never... And this is why they don't invite us to sports fucking bars. Well, and the fact that we're clean and sober, but that's one of the reasons.
Go
right there.
T-Swift. Okay.
You really don't know which song I'm talking about?
No.
It's been like all over social media.
Oh, I'm not on social media.
She lied through her teeth.
No, I don't know.
I was like, I see you red.
You're a good singer.
Red.
You're a good singer. I don't know it though.
Red.
I have to look it up.
Okay,
I can't.
Yes. So, last question.
Okay.
You go.
Oh, me? Okay, let's do... Oh, I have one right here. What does success look like to you now?
Oh, wow. Success for me...
Now.
Success for me, anything that disturbs my peace
mm-hmm.
makes me feel that I failed. Because at the end of the day, now that I'm 42 years old,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to be 43 in April, just like you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're going to be 40, I'm going to be 43.
Yeah.
So, now I understand that my peace is my responsibility. So when I allow somebody else to disturb it, when I allow a situation, a circumstance, an individual, a thing, anything outside of me to disturb it, I did something wrong.
Okay.
Why? Because I'm accountable for my own action and it's nobody else's responsibility. So today my level of success is measured by the peace that I have in my life today. And if I'm honest to you, from where I started to where I'm at today, I'm a billionaire of peace.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have the peace that I need, and it's required for me to live a happy life.
Mm-hmm.
I have everything that I need, not everything that I want,
mm-hmm.
but I have everything that I need.
Absolutely. And more. Yeah.
Now, to you. So you asked me,
yeah,
what is...
What does success look like to you now?
Okay, now, what does happiness look like to you?
Woo! That's a big one. I have to be honest. Happiness to me is hard to come by because I am in the biggest battle of my life with grief. The thing is, with grief, though, it's proof that you love someone. And so I'm having to learn to find happiness in smaller things. Happiness for me today is that peace that I do have at home. You know, having a home is something that brings me happiness because I've worked very hard for it all on my own. And I think for me, happiness comes from understanding where my support comes from. I'm surrounded by love more than I ever thought I would ever have. Not more than I deserve. I've learned to stop that conversation with myself. Happiness today is finding where do I go when I'm not feeling like I belong? You know, where do I go when I feel like I'm not being successful? Where do I go when I'm not feeling happy? You know, and so being able to find those points from different people in different parts of my life does bring me happiness, as hard as it is. And there's also a little bit of guilt that goes into it now. You know, I just got my undergraduate certificate from the university. I'll get my bachelor's later in September, and then I'll have my MBA in 2025. But I got the first of 3 degrees that I'm getting, and not being able to call mom and have that voice of excitement in my ear that I knew that she would have, that was hard. And I had a hard time finding happiness for all the hard work that I've put into an extra part of my program with school. And so now I'm just knowing that I'm still doing it. I'm still waking up. I'm still doing the homework. I'm still showing up to class. And I'm still going to get these degrees. You know, it brings me some happiness that I'm still doing it despite my grief.
When you put it that way, I come to realize that I used to have this friend, and I learned this in early recovery, is that there's a difference between happiness and joy.
Oh, absolutely.
Happiness, it's, I have to have this. Something external has to happen mm-hmm. in order for me to feel it. Mm-hmm. Joyfulness comes from within.
Mm-hmm. Well, with my mom's passing, my joy is gone right now.
Okay.
Not forever. And so finding those things that make me happy is where I'm going to find my joy again. I just have to be honest, though. I think that with grief, the worst thing I can do is to not be honest with people. When people ask me, how are you doing? I'm going to say I'm not okay. And I think with the mental health, you know, things that we've done in this world as of 2024, you know, we know that it's okay to not be okay. But it's also not okay to not tell people you're not okay. You know, now I'm okay enough that I can go home and take care of myself and bathe myself and get up. And there's people out there that cannot do those things, mm-hmm. you know, but I know that my joy is gone right now. My joy, I haven't felt joy in a long time. And so I know that it's going to come back because I'm still finding happiness in these little things. And eventually, just like 3 years ago when I found recovery, these little things of happiness are going to bring me more joy. It's going to come back. It's just not here right now. And that's okay. Yep. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. There's no reason to freak out. You know, I just have to sit in what I have. What I have right now is a broken heart and a void in my life. And there's no feeling that void, you know. And I think that I've learned in my recovery that the first thing I want to do to fill that void is a bottle and a needle. And neither of those are going to bring me any more joy than showing up every day for myself. Does.
And I thank you for talking about that. I think that you touched on a few subjects that are quite important, and mm-hmm. they're not spoken of like as much. One of them being mental health.
We can do a whole episode on that.
You know what I mean? Like being able to understand that you're not okay, being able to say, I'm not well, mm-hmm. but it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm not joyful or happy, mm-hmm. and that's okay.
Yep.
Wow.
I think we had a great little time here. I hope the listener learned something, because if you didn't, you should just re-listen to it. It's fine. We're still going to be here.
Please play it over and over. So with that said, what would be one of the things that you would like for our listeners to know about you? What is your most important principle or belief?
Right now, finding my strength in my support system. Because not every day do I feel like I'm doing it, or I'm doing it right, or I'm being my best. But I know that if I stay in touch with my support system, I'm always going to find a way to get through the day.
For me, it's about self-love and self-awareness. Being able to have those two things is what keeps my peace going today. With that said, we want to thank you for tuning in, for listening to us.
All three of you. I love all three of you.
There's 4, actually.
Is there 4?
There's 4.
Girl, we are going to the moon.
We're going places. And here's the thing, whether it's 1 or 100 or 1,000,000, like, if we can change... If we can help you, even if it's just one person at a time.
You're not alone.
We're glad. We're okay with that. You know what I mean? Today we're trying to touch hearts, not quantities. You know, like, so mm-hmm. if it's just one heart that we can change, if you find any support, any happiness, joy, or peace with the words that we say, and you can relate, then we did our job.
Like and follow. With your heart. Like and follow with your heart.
No, on Facebook too. Don't play. Well, that's all the show we have for today.
Yay!
We once again thank you for tuning in and like us on Facebook. It's Trans Experience 3. No, it's Trans Experience.
Just Trans Experience.
So mm-hmm.
She's giving out our email. It's transexperience3@gmail.com. That's our email.
If you ever want to contact us, or if you ever have any questions or input or suggestions, please don't hesitate. And that email, once again, it's Maddie.
TransExperience3@gmail.com. I just wanted to give a quick shout out to our friend Calvin for giving us some really, really, really great advice.
Yes, definitely.
Calvin, you are a true one. You came through. I appreciate you. We appreciate you. And we hope we touched your heart today.
Yes, our intro was thanks to him. So, Calvin, we love you.
Thank you for listening to another episode. We hope you enjoyed it and find the time to leave a comment with your feedback.
And don't forget to like and follow us on Facebook at Trans Experience. And for any comments or suggestions, please email us at transexperience3@gmail.com. And thank you.
We appreciate your support.